The following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Put your name on it. Just put your name on it. That's all I say. Be a man or a woman. Put your name on it.
It just clicked in my mind that if you just run through somebody's face, a lot of people ain't going to be able to take that over and 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 over again. They just not going to want that. Run through a motherfucker face, then you don't have to worry about them no more.
More Stories Podcast. AJ Benz is in the house, and we're all done. Say hi to everybody.
Hey, it was a great time to be here.
Put your name on it, folks.
God bless Mabel.
God bless Mabel. You know the winner.
Yes, she is.
It's we're recording this on. Why don't I sit closer to the mic instead of leaning over, like I'm doing a freaking duet? Jason Stewart said, "Why didn't they give George from the Beatles a mic? Like when you see the old footage of the Beatles,
no mic.
George always has to lean over. Need somebody?
Yeah."
It's like you know he's going to sing.
Yeah, no.
You got the money of the Beatles.
Nah, yeah. One more mic. Why not? No.
It's George. Taxman?
Yeah. Don't give George a mic. Yeah.
We were all looking for reasons. Elvis's people were all on speed.
AJ Benz has got a great podcast. Fame is a bitch. I subscribed today. I encourage you to. I put my name on that. I'm recording this on a Tuesday night. So this will be out next week. It's time travel. And I was just informed by AJ, brother from another mother, that Ernie and Bert are officially now gay.
Not gay, flaming.
Well, I say...
Long time, too.
Who makes that decision? And where does he get his fucking balls big enough? Where do you get your fucking... What do you mean gay? Gay how?
You fucking... Hey, buddy.
Who top, bottom, no,
listen,
fucking
this
Bert?
This is a real thing.
Bert's my favorite Muppet. I got no problem with anybody being gay. My problem is... I'm going to guess maybe this person that named him gay is gay.
Well, of course.
And project...
Of
is he
course,
really?
Yeah. The
guy not the creator. Jim Henson.
But I'm not going to say he's the creator. No, it's Jim Henson. But this is the guy that whatever these fucking people do to Muppets, whatever
I
they
gonna curse
animate,
so much. Do it on your friends. That's all.
I don't know what the guy does to Bert and Ernie, but he... Look, I'm looking for the picture. I just read it. We all knew that there was a possibility. There was a rumor for years, and this guy finally said...
I got it right here. Former writer saw Ernie and Bert as loving couple.
Loving couple.
Sesame Workshop disagrees. And they got to pick... See, look at Bert's reaction. Bert's like, I'm what now?
Yeah.
Ernie's like, finally.
Hey, finally. And they're going to call it Christopher Street now. No more Sesame Street.
Christopher Street?
It's the whole fucking thing. They're changing everything.
I love it.
But you know what? It's, you know, who can be surprised by this? It's going to happen. And I told you downstairs at the elevator, he'll be transitioning before 2019's halfway up.
Who is?
Bert.
Why is it going to be Bert?
Because you look at his face.
Yeah, Bert
was. He doesn't like it. He
looks like Maude.
Ernie's very happy with the whole cock thing. He's very happy. Bert's conflicted.
You know why he's conflicted? Because Ernie bugs the shit out of him. Like, he's my favorite Muppet, right? And everybody goes, oh, Bert's like an asshole. Like, no. Bert's cool. He'll sit in the chair, and Ernie goes, hey, what are you doing? He goes, I'm thinking about my favorite number. What's your favorite number? 6. That's nobody's favorite number. Well, it's my favorite number. No, it can't be. And then after a while, he's like, well, what the fuck's with everybody? Is everybody in town on drugs? Like, it's my fucking, what are we talking about? And then he gets fucking heated.
It's a great.
Go get your fucking shine box.
Yeah, it's exactly. Shine box moment. Exactly. It's a very.
He just wants to sit in a chair and think about his favorite number.
It's great. It was great. But you know what? They're going to turn into the whole, someone's got to transition. And if you think about Mr. Hooper, and think about that night, that street, and the fucking Oscar the Grouch, which was a real, you know, I'm thinking like, I lived in New York City for years. I lived in the Village for years at night. The guy that comes out of the garbage can, it's a very trans, what's the word?
Transient.
I would pass
the
transvestites.
Oh, transvestites.
The West Village.
I never look.
And I got a feeling.
I've been blown by a transvestite. You know what I never saw? One coming out of a goddamn trash can.
No, but
the night goes horribly. Maybe that's where they go. Maybe like they end up Jimmy Kahn like throws him over his head. Fucking Hulk.
The garbage can.
Yeah.
It's fucking, I'll kill you.
No, they don't.
You blow me again, I'll kill you.
I swear to God, you trick me like that again. So
you?
I wrote garbage instead of Oscar.
Fuck
so
my
Oscar,
sister again like that. No, well,
I'm not
going
to answer that.
Swear to God, I'll kill you.
Oscar Ernie Bird. This is what the writer said of Sesame Street. His name is Saltzman, Mark Saltzman, who worked on the show from the 80s to the 90s. In this day and age. he thought of Ernie and Bert as a gay couple. Quote, I always felt that without a huge agenda. When I was writing Bert and Ernie, they were. So I don't think I'd know how else to write them. But as a loving couple, that's what I had in my life.
I resent that sentence.
I do too.
You're a fucking writer. You can
That's what I had in my life, a Bert and Ernie relationship. How could it not permeate? Because
you
your job is to write for
you're a shit writer.
By the way, AJ and I don't give a shit if people are gay.
No.
These aren't people. They're fucking puppets.
Are you kidding me?
It's different. Ryan Reedman tweeted today. Everyone's freaked out that they're gay, but nobody had a problem that they've been getting fisted since we were kids.
Right, right. Yeah.
The guy drives a fucking tow truck. He's like the funniest person I know on Twitter.
Let me tell you something. When I lived in the West Village, this was when it was called a meat packing district for real. There were high sides of beef hanging upside down with fucking blood in the streets. And that's where butchers and truck drivers would go. There was one diner open for like 3 hours a night, and they would get blowjobs from the transvestite hookers. It was like 94, 95.
No, I know.
Hulking guys would get they knew where to go for the right blowjob.
Edelweiss. New Year's Eve. My friend Frosty comes over to the booth. This is when I was drinking. He's like, JJ, we got to go right now. That's a transvestite. Oh, and by the way, transvestites sound like midgets. Like,
what do you mean? What are you talking about?
On a date? Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Oh,
and I go, Frosty, I'm not going anywhere. I didn't sit in this booth because I thought it was a guy. This is a gorgeous woman with big boobs, one of which I'm holding in my hand.
The Adam's apple below.
From the belly button down, she's a fucking centaur. It's not my business.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a tit, it's Adam's apple.
He goes across the street to the apartment, comes back into the club, opens his jacket, he's a fucking pepper mill. Like a pepper grinder, like one of the big ones.
The fucking Ruby
he goes,
Rosa.
I swear to God, I'm a crack it. And he would.
Yeah, I understand that.
I go, honey, I gotta go.
There are guys like that.
The whole night, he's like, why'd you call that guy honey? I'm like, did you see the boobs on that beautiful Asian lady? I didn't go, hey, listen, I bet you're a dude. Let's go hang out.
I made out with a trans. I did it.
My buddy told me,
a little Thai, I know. A Thai girl who was always at the same restaurant. My buddy told me, my buddy was a European guy. He says, believe me, you hang out with her long enough. I said, never in your fucking life. I'll never get turned on by that girl. Sure enough, a few drinks, a few pills, Friday night in Soho. Suddenly, you know, we're in a fucking dark hallway and I'm making out with her. And I went back and I said, I just kissed a fucking guy for fucking 30 seconds.
But you didn't kiss a guy.
She wasn't.
You didn't
go
into the.
I didn't reach down her pants yet. But everything about her was female. The hair.
What did you just
say?
I didn't what?
I didn't reach down her pants. But everything about her was female. The hair, the hands, the nail polish.
And when you saw her across the room.
Girl.
You didn't go, that dude looks like a lady.
Fantastically feminine. And plus, she had that tie thing going. And the tie can go either way. You know what I mean?
Well,
that's
yeah.
That's why a lot of guys go to Thailand for little boys. Like, because you put a wig on a boy, it could be a girl in a second. think about that Thai face. The Thai face is like an ambidextrous face. It can go both ways.
You put a wig.
A little Irish kid can't be a little Irish. Little Irish Kevin O'Leary can't be a girl with a wig. Can't.
Yeah, no. You put wigs
but
on my sons. They look like George Dudley from Otto and George.
Right.
Like my sons look like the puppet.
You can't. Doesn't work. A wig on everybody.
I'm reading this
Jesus Christ.
Huffington Post.
Don't read the Huffington Post. They don't even have writers there. That fucking girl wrote that article.
Hold on a second.
There's no editing.
Nobody knows anything.
Spell.
Hold on a second.
I appreciate you reading it, but it's awful.
Nobody knows anything about this, and I'm going to cherry pick what I think
appreciate
about
it. I just, you know.
The Forrest Gump of the entertainment scandal world. That makes me think it's like
around everybody.
You're like a savant.
I'm around. Well, no, it means that I can tie myself into any scandal that comes up. I know the person. I dated this person. That was my girlfriend. I used to this. But I can step into any scandal and be 1 degree of separation away. I have a weird thing about that.
But you're never in this. Are you ever the scandal? No.
I've been the scandal. Not with murder and shit like that. But I've been in my share of scandals. Me and Donald Trump were dating the same girl. I threatened to kill him on fucking radio. I mean, I've
it's
been
not a scandal. Who cares?
It was a scandal when you threaten to kill a guy and he becomes the fucking president of the United States. That was a of all the guys you threaten to kill, he becomes the president. No, but I mean, he was still Donald Trump. It was New York City. It was 2001. He wasn't nobody.
It was either him or the Duck Dynasty guys. It had to be a reality guy.
Listen.
The president once
said... He wasn't even doing the practice back then.
The president of the United States, leader of the free world, once said, Lil Jon, you're fired.
I know.
Brett Michaels, you're the grand champion of shenanigans.
Okay, listen. Beautiful.
Oh, that's good.
I've been to Mar-a-Lago, and he told me when you talk in class, you know, it's almost, you know, it's the Godfather. His voice is the Godfather, kind of. It's, look how they massacred my boy, turns into, this is class. It's all class, okay? It's almost, it's Godfather adjacent. Okay?
That's a great observation.
Okay, Michael.
It's almost there. His face looks like, to me, and I'm not left or right, I wouldn't legitimize either party with my affiliation.
Yeah, I'm in the middle.
I lived in Jersey, I voted for Chris Christie, I voted for Christine Todd Whitman.
I voted for Obama.
I voted for Obama, yeah, exactly.
Once, not twice, once.
I voted for Hillary because she was a woman.
Voted for Bush.
I'm like, it's been 44 dudes in a row.
Yeah, but I hate that cunt. No good.
That's nice. That's nice of you.
No good.
That's nice. She broke your heart?
No, she's just no good.
You don't like her
policy? There's nothing about her I like. If she was my neighbor, I'd leave dog shit on the doorstep.
You don't know anything about her.
Yeah, I know enough about not to like her.
Hold on, let me tell you something. I don't give a shit about Hillary Clinton. We've had 44 guys in a row with my
thing. Yeah, I think that's
the most overqualified candidate we've ever had.
She was qualified for sure. Absolutely.
But you hate her because why?
You know, you got intuition on people, and I'm not alone. I don't like her personality. I think she's full of shit. She's the most insincere, phony fuck that I've ever seen in my life. Really.
Where did you see her?
What do I see? I mean, she's been around for 30 fucking years. I got a good idea for 30 years. I was a journalist. I covered...
Every time we talk, it's like Jake LaMotta and Joey from Raging Bull.
You bought me about a steak.
Well, I don't make the way to lose a fight. I ask him. He's got more sense to you.
I don't like her.
It's a heavyweight. You're a middleweight.
It's stupid. You're a stupid fuck.
Harder. You hit like you take it up the... I'm not a fight.
I'm going to wrap it around your hand. Good.
How many more times I got to tell you?
Not too many more.
Brian.
No, forget about it. Every line, I know. No, I don't like her. But that's not to say I don't like other women who run, you know.
Is there a scandal? Like, is that Whitewater thing? I don't know. Like, these political scandals.
They get deep.
Like, Chris Christie, Bridgegate.
That was a scandal.
What's the point of being governor if I can't close the fucking bridge to make my friends laugh?
I get
it. He closed two lanes of the bridge, diverted traffic into a shit town where a guy fucked him over. He's like, you know what?
Yeah.
That's what being governor is.
I understand.
To the victor go the spoils.
It's a Jersey thing. It's a local thing.
And people go, well,
thing.
What if somebody needed an ambulance? Like, he'll call in the Coast Guard because he's on the clock. Right. He's being watched.
You'll get help. Don't worry. I know.
But people need to know that. The guy literally, Bridgegate is, he literally closed two lanes.
Yeah.
It's a two-level bridge.
Oh, yeah.
So there's nine lanes total, maybe eight lanes.
Right.
And two of them on one level he closed and said, you guys got to go through Fort Lee or wherever it was.
It was a little power play.
People are like, I can't believe he'd do that. Like, if you give me control of orange cones, I'm going to fucking make fun.
I'm having a good fucking time.
Hey, guess what? Long Island's closed. No need reason for you to go out there. The Lohans are out there and the Benzes. The
Lohans.
I'm waiting for AJ to fucking take care of Lindsay Lohan and we'll be up and running.
I understand what he did. It doesn't bother me at all. But people nowadays, look, everybody's a pussy. Everybody's a pussy. Everybody puts their hand up and complains. This happened. This happened. Even the Kavanaugh thing. I was at a party in fucking 1983. There were two guys in the room.
It's a lifetime appointment. Oh, it is a big deal. It
doesn't bother me. It was a fucking high school kegger.
You don't, if you had a vagina and female reproductive organs,
you know what?
This, hold on.
No, I get you.
If you had a vagina, ovaries, fallopian tube, the uterus, and you could bring life into this world or not,
understood.
This is the single most important decision that is being made in your lifetime.
Yeah.
Because this guy can go Roe v. Wade.
Oh, well,
abortions are done.
That's what this whole thing's about.
Nobody can get it. You get a rape, you got to have a baby.
I'm not for that. I have a little daughter. I'm not for that. But I'm not looking to look. I'm not going to have this woman who can't remember all the details.
Oh, no, you
that
don't.
That bothers me.
You know, I'm going to say you don't know that, but you are AJ Benza, and this is actually your wheelhouse. So
she can't remember the details, bro.
It was in high school. She's 60,000 years old.
So why do we take her at every fucking word she says? Why?
Who says we do? Hold on.
Oh, the
who's they?
The vast majority of people. You've got to believe a woman. Why she told the story.
You have to listen and hear the story first. There's no rush. This is a lifetime appointment.
Investigate. No, forget about him. If she said it about the ice cream man, investigate it. She's innocent. I mean, she's telling the truth. Don't assume it.
That's never entered my mind.
No, but nowadays everything is rushed to judgment. We've got to get rid of this person, whoever.
Well, that started long before she got into the picture.
Tomorrow it's you, Jay.
Long before
scary.
She came into the picture, we got to get rid of this guy because Cory Booker risked his entire political career releasing classified documents because he's like, here's the colored people solution, wink. Like he's a fucking scumbag.
What do you expect from rich, privileged fucking white people who went to private yeah. schools? That's who they are. That's basically who they are.
It's amazing.
I know.
All right, so the Clintons, white water. What is that?
God.
In like an elevator
pitch. I'm not a political columnist.
If you don't know, then we'll move on. I got other ones.
I can't sit there and
Did Robert Wagner kill Natalie Wood?
I think he had a hand in it, but I think they were all fucking loaded.
Had a hand in it. It's fucking three people in a boat.
I mean his hands on her. No, the point is, they were all loaded. They got thrown out of three bars on Catalina, which is probably every bar during the... At the time,
it's Natalie Wood, it's Robert Wagner, like when people gave a shit about him. Christopher Walken, Deer Hunter Christopher Walken. Yeah,
but I always heard... But I always heard that Natalie walked in and Robert Wagner was fucking around with Chris Walken.
No.
Okay. I don't want to believe it
Who'd
either.
Who'd you hear that from, the captain? Nobody was there except the sea captain. Dave Attell.
These things come.
Merlin, yes.
These things have a way of coming out. But even still.
Not really.
She's a crazy actress. I love her, but she's nuts.
Overrated. Absolute one of the worst actresses of all time.
Did you see her Sandra Puerto Rican portrayal in West Side Story? Did that sell you?
AJ Benz has got a book, Fame.
That's fucking old. This is the book. This is the new one. This is the one that's out
now. That's the closer here.
That's old. You can get that for 50 cents on Amazon.
Sweetheart, relax. I've done this before.
I know, but don't worry about that.
AJ's got a book called Fame, Ain't It a Bitch? Confessions of a Reformed Gossip Columnist. But what I'm excited about,
yes,
if he'd fucking wait 2 seconds, 74 and Sunny.
There you go.
Which... you look at Amazon, it's 5-star reviews. There's no review that's less than 5 stars from this. This is, I wish I had read it before you got here.
I know, I'm
a little
sorry.
Bit
I couldn't,
you've talked to me.
You'll like the subject matter.
Well, tell us what it's about.
Well, the subject matter is my father, tough Sicilian guy, summer of 1974. His brother was an accomplished doctor in Jersey, already had a gay son. Now he's got a second boy.
Named Bert?
No, named Larry.
So who? Your uncle?
My father's brother.
So your cousin was gay?
Yeah, but the second son now is 10, and he's showing the same signs. That's the way they put it back then. And his father said to my father, I think Gino's brain damaged. Can you take him to your house in Long Island? Can he spend a summer with you and the family? Because my family was insane. Fucking Playboy magazines everywhere. My father would... My father was an animal. It was Jake LaMotta.
He's an animal.
So we took him in. She knew better. We took him in for a summer, and the story is we couldn't change him, naturally, because the kid's gay. He changed us.
But brain damaged.
That's the way they referred to him.
When he came in, did you guys go, he's gay?
No, we didn't know that he was gay. We knew he was very effeminate and different.
Okay. I mean, but you knew he wasn't, you knew what was up.
Couldn't throw a fucking ball. Couldn't throw a spiral. All the clues were there.
You guys think we're breaking balls.
No, we're not.
I know what you mean.
I just was with my cousin Gino. We're still close as you can imagine. Very happily married gay man now, but the
does
point
he live
is,
in Philly?
No, he's in New York City. Not that Gino. We couldn't fix, and the point is, he fixed us.
I like
us.
You guys gave it an effort.
We became the people who understood and accepted, and we told his father, Larry, you got to accept this boy. He's a beautiful boy. There's nothing wrong with him. It took my uncle to understand that. It's not the worst thing in the world to have two sons who are gay. But as a man in the 70s, I could imagine why that would really throw a man into a conniption. Like nowadays, you can't tell someone, I got two gay sons and it bothers me, because you're looked down upon. But back in the 70s, if you're a real tough runabout man and both your sons are gay.
This is cultural too. These are tough Sicilian guys.
Two Italian, tough World War II guys,
Yeah,
and we took him in, and it was a fantastic, memorable summer. And my father would buy him Liza Minnelli records. We did all the things that made him happy. And it turned out to be a fantastic... So this book is about that summer of him changing us.
This is beautiful.
And now the movie, I'm writing the movie now.
I'm glad you are.
Got optioned, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
And what you just said was really, really profoundly beautiful. We couldn't fix him, and I was going to make a joke like, nice of you to give it to college try. But I couldn't get me being an asshole out fast enough, and your sincerity just cut through it.
We couldn't
fix him. He fixed us.
Sure he did, because we didn't know any better.
That's beautiful.
It's ignorance. And, as much as I'm a loud, abrasive guy, and I throw the word fag around on my show when it's appropriate for me, I don't give a fuck.
I do all the time.
My best friends are gay, and they listen to them. They give me things to say. They're like, fine, you can say it. I go by them.
It's not an East Coast thing. Like I'll say in my act, I'll go, and I'm not going to give like a faggoty. I go, by the way, when I say this, I don't mean, when in the East Coast, when you go like, come on out with us, don't be a fag. We're not saying don't stay home and put cocks in your mouth and suck them and then cuddle.
Dick's not even in the equation.
It's like
where your dick goes.
And nobody that I grew up with gave a shit about
gay
at all.
No, we don't care.
Like my sisters were older than me and they'd bring home like their friends from like Studio 54 early on. I was probably like 7 years old. 6 years old, but then they went like Night Moves or some shit in Wayne, New Jersey, and they bring them like Frank and Al. There was all like these gay Italian guys,
right?
But there's always like the gayest one. They're like, no, he's not even gay, he's got a wife. And I'm like, I remember like nine going,
really?
Well, really? He gives great head. No, but it's like, I don't know anybody in the East Coast that gives a shit. Obviously, of course, people do, and it's just absurd.
Let me tell you something.
People say, are you for gay rights? I'm like, people rights?
People
like, no,
rights.
Gay rights. I go, they're fucking people, you scumbag.
I can't stand black rights, but gay rights. I can't stand separating. I can't stand saying, she's the first female black host of whatever. Shut the fuck up. Stop saying that about people.
That's Ron.
Tiffany Haddish is the first black. Stop it. You're the reason why we always categorize people.
You're minimizing what a great comedian
she's
she is.
She's a great comedian.
Yeah. She's the fucking best person for that gig. Absolutely.
Don't care at all. I've had 100 black girlfriends. I don't give a fuck.
100?
No. 20, 15, 20. The point is I don't care about the color. I don't care about color unless they start, you know, stealing shit around the house. Then, you know, then you got...
She's Jamaican, Tony. They steal. My, I got you a nice one. She's Jamaican, Tony.
I don't
want to
be kissing Sammy Davis on the mouth. You know what I mean?
I mean, that King Cole over here.
That King Cole.
You can really see how white girl could fall for a guy like... What? The word what?
If you look at his face before the line comes, you can see it building.
He's like, why is she still talking? We saw Sammy Davis. You can see it.
Whoa.
There's a lot of people around. That's all. I'm going to order this book. I'm excited about it.
The what? That one?
No.
This is yours.
Oh.
This is yours.
I thought you just walk around with your own books.
Yeah, I carry it. I throw it out. Like it's
Bible.
Like a Bible. I talk to people on the street. It's yours. I signed it and everything. Forget about it.
Is that your dad?
Swimmer, it looks just like
build.
Him and I, and it's not.
Swimmer's that, build.
That's a stock picture. It looks just like him and I, and it's not. So we ran with it, and it's serendipitous that we got that picture.
If I didn't read this inscription, I would have forgotten our Buddy Hackett connection, which is why you're
imagine
here.
Imagine we
begin
go with
it.
That without mentioning that. Jesus
well, you'll
Christ.
Be back a lot.
Okay. Well, I love it.
More success, more funny, more Hackett, more stories, just more. I love you, brother. Thank
you. I love
you,
pal. I knew I'd love you. You know, I knew I'd love you when I saw Jerry Maguire. Is that gay? Speaking of gay.
When I saw Jerry Maguire in a theater, I'll see a movie that I'm in like a month after it comes out in the middle of the day, in the middle of nowhere. Right?
I'm in the middle of the guy. I'm
so I'll be in the back, and I'm watching Jerry Maguire. It's me and Frosty, the guy with the pepper mill. And there's a gay couple right in front of us and two black dudes off to the side in front of them. And it's empty, but we're all like kind of bunched in the middle.
Right.
And the gay guys go first, and it's like this.
Is that Eric Stoltz?
Oh, no.
And his lover looks at him. It was her. You know, him and Cameron have a deal that he's in every movie.
Oh, I thought you meant when you were talking.
No.
Okay,
Eric Stoltz's like, hey, you know,
oh,
it's a retirement
forgot.
Party. So
I
a little quick cameo. He goes,
okay.
Is that Eric Stoltz? And his lover looks at him, stares at him like, I can't believe I didn't fucking murder you on that cruise. And goes, no.
Holy shit.
And he goes, I'm sorry. But it is Eric Stoltz. And me and Frosty are like...
I wonder if he ever told him you were right.
So then I come back on screen. I'm not on screen for like 35 minutes. I call it the bad part of the movie, whatever.
Yeah, of course.
And when I come back on, the black guy's down there. One guy goes, oh, here comes this motherfucker, Guy Smiley again.
No.
Guy Smiley. And they're like, the other guy goes, Guy Smiley. Like they were talking about it in the car on the way in.
Wow.
Guy
ready.
Smiley.
They were ready for you.
We got good Buddy Hackett stories here. And this is amazing. And this adds heart. The fact that I know what I know about your dad and Buddy Hackett, I can't wait to get into
this. When you read this book, you got to know that's Buddy Hackett's best friend when you read the book and when you hear the things he says.
Well, when the fly walked over the mirror, that's one way of looking at it, you know.
Robinhood. It's an investing app. Lets you buy and sell stocks. This is exactly what I've needed. I'm happy they're on board the More Stories podcast because I don't know what the hell I'm doing when it comes to the stock market. It's like an EKG chart and people tell me you lose. It's like Keno for me.
I don't know what pork bellies are. I still don't know.
Pork bellies.
What do they do? Do
chicharrón. Chicharrón is like a pork. That's pork belly.
I used to go to the come on.
I sound like Luis Guzman. Personally, I thought she was a secretary. I thought she was a secretary.
I want his fucking career. I just want his career in that 10-year span where he did everything.
I'm terrible at the stock market. You know, ever play Keno in Vegas? They give you a card, like
that's
a big
confusing.
Piece of paper with like 1,000 numbers on
it's
it. They give you a crayon.
Yeah.
And then like a day later they see you in the restroom, they open the door by accident, they're like, I'm in here, they're like, by the way, you lost. I'm like, okay, that sounds fair.
Is that the game you play at breakfast, Keno?
You like played all the time on TV, too.
On,
yeah, it's okay, on TV everywhere.
Yeah, I played it. It's terrible.
Brokerages, they'll charge $10 for every trade. I'm still talking about Robinhood because it's really kind of exciting. Yeah. They don't charge commission fees. Trade stocks. Keep all your profits, man. The charts are easy to understand, which I need. I show you the pie charts for the wrestlers that the coach had.
That was fantastic.
Learn how to invest as you build your portfolio. I'm coming back,
wow.
baby. Never left.
Wow.
Robinhood has given my listeners and more stories free stock like Apple, Ford, Sprint. Hey, that's what's up.
Yeah.
You get free stock if you sign up at morestories.robinhood.com. Did you understand what I said? You get free stock.
Can't beat that.
morestories.robinhood.com.
Not in Chipotle. We're talking about...
All I ever hear about Chipotle is people spray fucking Yoo-Hoo out of their
fucking
ass.
Dying.
And they had a problem with it.
I went once and I didn't like it.
Jeremy Guthrie had a Chipotle lifetime card.
Well, that's
what you get when you're a number four starter.
That's no good.
That's what you get to the major leagues. You get $8 million to lose 16 games and a lifetime Chipotle.
How about David Wright? Was it vitamin water? I think vitamin, because it's the same thing as 50 Cent, who he lost his $100 million.
With that first pitch he threw out, he should lose all of it.
Obama, too, not for nothing.
Obama's better than fucking Fitty.
Christ, I don't know a fucking thing about throwing
best stock investments ever. David Wright is up there. I got the best one, I believe.
Okay, David Wright.
David Wright of the New York Mets. He was a third baseman for the Mets. He was a slugger, and he broke down with injuries. He
took
had
0.05.
A deal. 0.05%
in vitamin water, I believe. Vitamin or smart water, whatever one it was. I think it's the one with all the flavors. Vitamin water. Yeah,
but not knee high. No, he's white, JJ. He's white.
No, 50 Cent went grape knee high, trust me.
Yeah. Orange.
Grape, yeah.
Yeah. Passion fruit. They love it.
Strawberry soda.
Yeah.
That fucking lean. That lean they drink.
Strawberry quick.
Yeah. Oh, I love strawberry.
I'm going to type in David Wright water. So he got 0.05.
0.05. It came out to 20 mil.
So he made $20 million.
Forget about it.
Vitamin water.
Vitamin water. Okay. All right.
$100 million.
100 mil for who?
David Wright.
Okay, 100 mil. Because I know 50 Cent got 100, but he lost it all.
Well, we're not talking about him.
I know,
we're talking about
the best. But they have the same deal as David Wright.
Stay on target.
He fucked it up.
His ownership stake. Okay. All right. The deal made him 0.5%, not 0.5.
0.5. Okay.
All right. Less than 1% of fucking vitamin water gets you 20.5 mil.
I can imagine that.
Holy smoke. So it was 20.5.
Jesus Christ.
And then his baseball.
He's fine.
Yeah.
But I feel good for the guy because he could have had a great, great, great career. His injuries broke him down, like a Mattingly kind of thing, which is a shame.
Well, Mattingly broke down because he didn't take steroids. Wright broke down maybe for the other reason. Who knows?
Yeah.
So David Wright, we got 25.
Who's the other big stock guy? Who do you got?
What did I just say? 20.5? 20 million?
20 mil for 0.5.
Okay, so you got another one for you?
No, I can't think right off the bat.
You got one for me?
Who do you got?
Duff.
Duff, the rock and roller?
And Rose.
Oh, come on. What did he get for what?
For Appetite for Destruction, every penny went to Starbucks in 88. It's split so much.
Find
it's,
a company. It,
you can only invest in STARB. You can't even get Starbucks stock anymore.
Every penny?
In 1988. So every single, his money.
Whatever he earned from
for
what?
Being in Guns N' Roses.
He just
for
put
that
in
one album that's one of the greatest selling albums of all time.
He put that in Starbucks?
Went to Starbucks. And I asked him, he's been on here 4 times. And I go, so you could live the rest of your life?
Oh,
he goes,
10 months.
Well, I live a pretty cool life. I go, fuck you. So that's way more than 20 mil.
Fuck yeah.
Starbucks?
Of course it is. That's a rock and roller telling you.
Vitamin water is a dick compared to fucking Starbucks.
No. That's a dud. Yeah. Starbucks? Wow.
David Bowie, this isn't an investment. Wow. He was the first guy to make his... catalog public.
He became a billionaire, right?
The investment was him. He was public.
He was public. He became the first billionaire musician.
I'm going to say like 1998, I saw a list of the richest people in entertainment, and he was ahead of Oprah. He was like into the billions because his catalog, Young Americans and fucking...
Let's Diamond. Dance, China
you,
Girl,
like
shit.
TGI Friday wants to use it, and Bennigan's goes, hold on a minute, and the stock goes through the roof. It's other level.
That's the kind
He's number two on me and Tom Rhodes. We ranked the gods. It was Buddha one, Bowie two, Christ three, Allah. Like we ranked all of them.
Listen,
That elephant head was at the back of the pack. That wasn't the first animal he saw. He saw a rat and he's changed his mind in the story.
I got my Bowie story that, how do I figure in Bowie's life? There's no way, right? So I had my show on the E! Channel back then, and the tagline was Fame Ain't It a Bitch. And E! Ran my show fucking 20 times a day.
Yeah, it was a great
constantly.
Show. I watched it constantly.
Thank you. Whatever. If you liked it or not. You couldn't help it. It was on. It was like pre-Kardashian. No, it was like E! So was young. It. They ran it all day. Marathons, the whole
Hold
thing.
On. You had a show
yeah.
that I liked.
I appreciate that.
I don't give a fuck how long they ran it. Like, just, the story gets sideways into how like E! Ran it. Like,
because I get a little, it's a little bit like embarrassing. Like, you know, 12 in a row marathons. It just was like an embarrassing thing. I can't explain.
That's more embarrassing than you at the end of every show. That, like, you're Danny Aiello in the fucking Ventura TV show. Like, you know, every episode, I got my one punch. Every episode, you go, ain't it a bitch to camera.
You know what's funny?
You should be ashamed
of
that.
I said it once. I said it in one commercial.
Well, they used it a lot.
I never said it in a show. But here's the thing. I get invited onto SNL for the 30th year fucking debut. Jerry Seinfeld's hosting. David Bowie's the musical guest. They fly me out. They want me to do two sketches. Walk out and say Fame is a bitch at the end of each sketch. Easy. Will Ferrell, the whole, you know, the whole crew is there. Like, the greatest crew. Jimmy Fallon, Sherry O'Terry. Okay, I do the rehearsal show, and Jimmy Fallon walks in and he goes, hey man, listen, they cut the sketches you're in. And I go, no, this can't happen. This can't happen. You guys flew me out.
You're new.
I'm with my girlfriend. My family's in the audience. There's no way. I can't tell 10 Italians out there that I'm not in this show. They're going to go ape shit. There's not going to be a show tonight. They can't cut both sketches. They were funny sketches. He goes, ah, man. I go, this is fucking, my girlfriend starts crying. He goes, let me talk to Lauren. I go, you could do that? He goes, let me see. He leaves. He comes back. He goes,
okay. Jimmy's like the guy that actually would go talk to
he
Lauren.
He did.
Yeah.
And he didn't know me, really. He just Sweet. Liked me. Lauren puts one sketch in. I do the Fame as a Bitch thing. Show's over. The Mets were playing the Yankees in the fucking playoffs, right? Jerry Seinfeld walks out, big Met fan. He goes, now, when you name, this will never happen again. He goes, on the good nights, he goes, wasn't that great? Everybody's grabbing. Wasn't that great? AJ Benza and David Bowie. Like, my name next to Bowie, impossible, never happen again. I'm flipping out. Then Bowie plays three straight songs in a row, like a mini concert to play the show off, but he keeps playing. Rebel Rebel, he does Fame.
Oh my
this
God.
It's insane. So I'm right here. He finishes with Fame. Crowd's going insane. And he doesn't know me. I never met him. And as he's walking off stage, he goes to me. I can't do Bowie, but he goes, see, Fame's not always a bitch. And I just fucking couldn't take it that he knew the phrase.
He's sort of the coolest person to ever live.
Killed me. My girlfriend started crying. I had my little daughter. I had my little Yorkie with me. Killed me.
Bowie goes, I understand you like the tranny that I once liked when you come in my dressing room and suck me off. You're going upstairs.
Bowie can
You're not
going to
pay
anything.
For Bowie tickets.
Bowie can make you do anything. But I heard from somebody who did some construction in his house with Iman that there was dog shit everywhere. Everywhere.
So what?
It just bothers me.
It bothers you?
To be that wealthy and have little dog shit all over your house, it's a little weird.
You want
to
help the animals, Scott? Go outside and clean the dog shit.
Liberace. That was in the theaters. They both would have won Oscars.
With that movie.
It's incredible.
Can you imagine?
They should have won Oscars.
Fuck yeah.
HBO instead of the theaters.
Matt Damon, the shit that he had to... I mean,
You want
to
help the animals, Scott?
They're in the bathtub. Go out, and outside is the opposite
Holy
of like...
Christ.
If to the listeners, inside is any other room than
you're
in.
Right.
It like right. Where's Dad? Oh, he's inside.
He's inside.
And he could be the kitchen.
He's over there. He's inside.
He's inside. So like outside means out of the bathtub. Like there's shit right next to it, and they're shitting all.
Go outside. You want to help the animals, Scott?
Go outside
and clean the dog shit. I think that helps the animals. It's fucking amazing writing.
No, it was fantastic.
And I love Liberace
too.
So
overlooked. Liberace is. I mean, when people will tell me. Well, you shouldn't say somebody's acting gay. That's not right. And I said, no, don't fucking tell me that. Have you ever seen Liberace? You ever seen Paul Lind? You know how many guys acted gay that we grew up watching? Don't say you can't act gay. That's absolutely a thing.
They were the gayest.
Exactly.
And they were so famous. Women in like Eau Claire, Wisconsin were like, no, he's not.
I know. They wouldn't believe.
I went to the Liberace Museum.
I used to go to see Peter Allen every fucking time he played. My sister loved. We loved Peter Allen.
One ringy ding.
I tell my sister, Lorraine, you know, he's gay. No, I don't believe it. I said, Lorraine. Of course he's gay. He fucking married. He's with Liza Minnelli. It's the whole Judy Garland thing. He's in love with her mother. No, you're wrong. Then he had a cough the last time he saw him.
You're
I think that's the real... I said, Lorraine, I said, I wouldn't kiss him. Don't you dare talk. I said, Lorraine, that's the cough. And he fucking died of AIDS. I'm sorry. He had the cough.
You know, it's
a different cough. It's
I
not.
I feel like I'm on Opie and Anthony.
It's not the little. I got a little.
No, I know.
It's the cough. Not the.
I feel like I'm on Opie and Anthony, and I love that you made your sister sound like Chris Sarandon from Dog Day Afternoon. You're killing everyone around you, Leon. No, he's not gay. Leon. Uppers, downers,
closing
screamers, the, blues, you name
the
it.
Robe. Oh yeah.
What okay. am I supposed to do? Yeah, they pressed me. Fucking Chris Sarandon was amazing.
What a part.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all here. Oh, that's just great, Leon. What am I supposed to do, Sonny?
Oh, God. Chris Sarandon.
50 greatest celebrity. What do you... All right. Oh, Tupac. God.
I ran with Tupac for a bit.
Who put the hit out? Eminem just said that Puffy put the call in.
He didn't do it. No, Reggie Wright Jr. did it. Reggie Wright Jr. was involved. No, he didn't do it. He was involved. It was
Reggie Wright Jr. That's hard to say. W-R-I-G-H-T.
Yeah, Reggie Wright Jr. was the head of security for Death Row. And that night in Vegas, he was in charge of all the security. But amazingly, he had everybody not bring guns. Don't use your guns.
Is this at the Auto Museum? Oh, no, Vegas.
At the fight. The Vegas fight. And it wasn't Orlando Anderson. There was, believe it or not, they were looking to hurt Suge because Suge's ex-wife would have stood to inherit Death Row, and she was having an affair with Reggie Wright Jr.
So then he gets a piece, too.
He had it. Oh, sure, he would have had a piece.
So that's Tupac gets shot in the middle. Oh, because they
believe
were in the same
car. Believe it or not, they were in the same car.
So it's that bad of a hit?
There were two twins who pulled it off. Two brothers.
Two blind twins?
The Hatton brothers. Hattons?
Ricky Hatton?
No, not Ricky.
General Hatton?
Not a good shot. He had his gloves on, so that's why he didn't fucking couldn't pull the trigger right. Yeah, no, that's a big theory that I tend to believe more than the other one.
Suge was in the car.
Sure, I know. I mean, how do you? It's easy to hit Suge, but they missed. That's the fucking. They hit him. They skinned him. Right. They skinned him the head. They skinned the skull a little bit.
He was on more sports, and he was delightful. He goes, "Oh, come on!" But
ask Vanilla Ice how delightful he was. We hung him out the fucking window upside down.
You should
down.
Write him a fucking thank you card and give him Christmas, you know, cards in a basket.
Listen,
the first question I asked him was, "Did you really hang Vanilla Ice out the window?" He goes, "Well, I don't remember."
Yeah, well,
I go, "Me neither."
That means, yeah, of course.
No, I of course.
Of course, that's the.
But
love,
he goes,
love guys like that.
Real, I'll do the show if I can have this guy Crooked Eye freestyle. I go,
"Fuck yeah!"
I go, "Bring a bunch of dudes.
You bring every Crooked Eye, yeah."
And I remember when Suge was there, I'm like. This is good. This is a good show. And that's Ralphie great. May's just smoking a pipe of grass at his desk. And he goes, you know your fucking mind, Jay Mars? I go, you don't like this? He goes, I love it.
Yeah,
I go,
of course.
He goes, we're down with the row, nigga. Ralphie screamed like he was like over the moon happy.
Yeah, I get it.
And I went, it never fucking dawned on me.
Yeah.
Like that I could be like friends with Suge Knight. I never went forward with it.
It's one of those things. I ran with Tupac for a bit, and he would tell me everything. He read every fucking New York Times bestseller. He told me, don't tell anybody. He said he was going to get shot and killed. He told me. I was in the hospital. It wasn't the first time he got shot in 94.
How are you friends with Tupac?
I was a pretty powerful gossip columnist at the Daily News. I used to work with, you know, Mark Kriegel. I heard you mention Kriegel before.
Right, but
as a gossip columnist, I was friends with Mickey Rourke at the time. And Mickey and Tupac were making Bullet. I would go down to see Mickey on set. And I met Tupac. And then we were going out every night. It was during a weird time when Mickey Rourke was trying to get back with Carrie Otis. So we were always trying to find her. And we were all piled to Mickey's car, his Lincoln. And
Cookie, that's who. She must be parking on the fucking sidewalk.
Right, yeah. You know, do me a favor, yeah.
It's not bad, not bad. That was one of my first impressions.
It's not easy doing Mickey. It's not easy with...
It's all right, you just repeat what you said.
Yeah, you know what, yeah.
Say it again. Say what you just said to me again. Say what you just said.
Say what, yeah.
We're worried about your suit
for Charlie. Say what you just said, yeah. Say what you just said, yeah. No.
I have a theory, we'll get right back to Tupac, but this is more
important. Yeah, blow another fucking shirt, yeah. I blow another $8 shirt. $8 tie. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I don't have fucking time.
You know what, Diane? You know what, Diane? You know,
I'm gonna go
bang
around
the village for a while. Get some fucking air. Meh, Charlie.
Barney, you ever do any time? Yeah, I did five. Hey, what the fuck is this,
hey,
Barney?
Give me that. Give me that fucking. Barney, give me that shit. Give me that shit, Barney. It's fucking hepatitis
Barney.
On wheels.
Mickey Rourke in Pope of Greenwich Village gets fired in the first quarter of the movie, because Eric Roberts is not handing in his chits to the chef.
He loves his friend.
So he's just going, like, it's like you take an order, you don't write it down if you're a waiter. Yeah. You tell the chef what you need because you're giving him drinks.
Of course.
The chef goes, great. It's and great. Then when they pay the bill, yeah. you just put it in your fucking pocket. Mickey Rourke warned them about it to get fired. And then...
what did I tell you?
He goes to hug Mickey Rourke, like, in a big, like, argument outside. And he goes, well, whoa, watch your suit. Watch your suit. And yeah. he goes, what are you worried about your suit for, Charlie? You ain't got no job to wear it to. And Mickey Rourke says, say it again.
Say what you just said to me.
And he fucking cracks Eric in the face.
Good one.
When you watch him say it again...
Yeah, I know. I know what you're going to say.
He's not acting.
He's not. It caught in his throat. It caught
what are you
his
worried
throat.
About your suit yeah, for, Charlie? You absolutely ain't right. got no job to wear it to.
Yeah, you're right. I don't. Yeah, that's, I know. You're
that's
right.
That's because you stole. The best is... Wow. If I'm so stupid, how come you have us on FDR Drive and commercial plates? All right, so Tupac.
Cop shit his pants.
You are. It ain't slow. You hung out with a.
Encore. That fucking drink.
Oh my God. I'm in love with AJ Benza. Come on. I say that all the time.
I got the pulp. The word pulp's on my own. That was my thing. I fucking
love it. Either show it or stop talking about a long sleeve tattoo, you dummy.
I can't help it. It was my thing. My pulp's my thing.
The cop walks into a bar. Eric Roberts puts lye in the cop's coffee so he shits his pants. God. And when he's pouring it in,
lime in Bed Bug Eddie Grant's coffee. He puts something in the
lime and lye.
Lime?
No, it's horse tranquilizer. It's something. Horse tranquilizer.
Yeah, yeah.
So the Irish bartender goes, does that stuff, how long does it take to work? And he goes, it ain't slow. But when the cop does the shot, he gets a ginger ale and a shot.
Oh, it's great.
And he does the shot. And for my entire life, he just does the shot, puts it down. Encore.
The best.
And then he goes, take a shit.
The writing is so great because you hate the cop when he says encore. You love. You know that Paulie and Charlie are best friends when he gets fired. You see how they just love each other.
There's no reason they should be that close because he keeps getting them in trouble.
But I had a friend
when I
like
auditioned
that.
For Rounders.
Oh, you did.
That Ed Norton got it. Obviously, they hired the right guy. And I'm like, I don't know how the fuck. Like, I don't know why these guys are even hanging out. And I, three different auditions, I went Pope Greenwich Village. They love each other. And when I finally got one, it was the Clint Eastwood movie Hereafter and Matt Damon. And I'm like, there's no reason he's even listening to me. I go, unless he loves me.
Right.
Because we're brothers.
That's good.
Like when they hold hands crossing the street, Mickey Roberts.
That's the key. My buddy and I did that too. That's
we
such
always
a thing.
We, like me and Aaron across the street.
Guys
like, come
do that
on, buddy.
Shit, man.
Because we're fags.
It's very faggy. It's a very faggy thing.
She's Jamaican, Tony. She steals. So you hung out with Tupac and Mickey Rourke when they were filming.
Yeah, he would tell me they're going to shoot me. They're going to kill me next time. I was at the club at Nell's nightclub the night that Tupac got head on the dance floor from the girl who later accused him of raping him. I was there when he got head. We watched it.
That's a dance floor head, they call it.
Of course.
That's what I call it right now. You ever have dance floor head? I never had dance
put
floor head.
What's your name on that? That's a good one. No, I never had dance floor head.
Where's that in your Pornhub? Where's that side?
Of, yeah, where, let me go. That's that category.
Dance floor head.
Dance floor head's a good category.
I gotta watch fucking cartoons of a Japanese pinata
anime.
Fuck.
Anime does nothing for me. Although the first hard-on I used to get when I used to watch the, I used to go to Little Annie Fanny cartoon, the fucking Little Annie Fanny comic in Playboy. It was a comic strip of a cartoon character with...
I remember
her nipples
it.
Would pop out of her shirt. It would drive me crazy.
Yeah.
Like nine.
Side tip, yeah.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning architectural shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
If you like this, you know you like what I like. Listen to my buddy Aaron Larsoul, Susie Schuster. They're doing America's Lakers podcast. It is the only official Lakers podcast. Everyone else is just fucking bumping their gums. It's available at Podcast One. Get the Podcast One app if you wish. Buddy Hackett and your father.
Oh God. Great stuff.
They were
best
friends
in high school, in the Utrecht High School in Brooklyn. They were best friends, voted best friends. And his name was Leonard Hacker. I'm sure you know that.
They were voted best friends.
Yeah, it was a thing in the yearbook. What guys to know, it said on the bottom of the
Let me tell you something, AJ. It's impossible that Buddy did not tell me about your father. I don't remember it offhand.
It was 1941 or 2.
Buddy was like
I know,
a dad
I
to
know.
Me.
I've been wanting like to meet you for home. That reason.
And it's impossible he didn't mention... He mentioned fucking Peter Newley. Who gives a shit? He's going to mention his best friend.
He was a big singer back then.
Yeah.
Shot of Fool of Yeah. was a big thing. He was on all the shows.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Well, my father and him.
Yeah.
My father came out of World War II and reunited with Buddy. And quick story is my father was on leave. He had, my mother had a daughter.
Slow down. Were they in World War II together?
No. My father was a...
Oh, they went to high school together. Never mind.
High school, right? My father enlists after Pearl Harbor. He goes to World War II and he's in the Coast
to get
Guard.
Fixed. Yeah. But they fixed him.
He was in the Coast Guard with Sid Caesar. I know, but...
I just get on a boat with that guy.
He put on a play with Phil... My father was dying. They put on a play called Stars and Bars. Or they put it
Soupy
up.
Soupy Sales would be worse.
Soupy Sales, but that show when I was a kid was... You knew you were watching something wrong. You couldn't keep your eyes off it. That's too early for you. Soupy Sales was all something right. that...
I got to stop interrupting you. So your dad and Buddy Hackett go to high school together in Brooklyn. They're best friends. It's so much so that people actually vote for them.
Yeah, they got the Nia book. They're best friends.
I'm just,
Leonard Hacker and Al Benza. What guys to know? I remember the picture. Right. It's in my house somewhere.
So after World War II, they reunite.
Well, no. So my father goes to World War II, and Buddy puts together his career, whatever he's doing.
He was doing Skidoo on Broadway.
Okay.
When he was done
with
Broadway.
In the 40s, though? No. Not quite yet.
That's correct.
He was getting...
And then he would leave... But eventually he would leave Broadway, go to
Vegas.
Fort Lee, New Jersey, and he was a cop.
Okay.
He went to the academy and everything. And he gave
all of
his... My
father was a cop, too.
Well, this all
That's
makes perfect
interesting.
Sense.
I never knew that Buddy was a cop.
Because Buddy never slept. He couldn't sleep. He had horrible insomnia, and he was a comic. So he'd be done with Broadway at, like, 10. He'd go across the bridge. He'd eat at a diner. He'd go to the academy. He'd do
That's
a shift.
Amazing.
He'd do, like, midnight to 7 a.m.
He'd sleep
for 3 hours. He'd go back to the city. Every check he took, because he was paid from doing stand-up, he put into the PBA, the Patrolman's Benevolent Association, so you can imagine how quickly he rose through the fucking ranks.
Yeah, yeah.
So when he lent me a gun while I was waiting for my gun, the 10-day waiting period, on the handle of it, it said, "To Buddy Hackett with love, the Florida the Florida Sheriff's Association," and there was a palm tree. Like, they fit it all on the handle
right
of the gun.
Wow.
He goes, "I called Beverly Hills, West Hollywood. After that, once you hit Van Nuys, you're on your own. But up until then, they know you got it. Make sure the bullets are in a separate container." Like, he called ahead in case I got pulled over.
It's so perfect.
He was wired in.
My father was a cop in New York. My father was an undercover cop. But the point is, World War II ends. My father had a daughter while he was away. When he came back from the war, my sister was 18 months old. Buddy comes to the house. "Al, you got to come with me. You got to go. I'm playing these comedy clubs. Al, me and you and I, like a team. Like, we'll kill him, Al. You'll be my right-hand guy."
Oh, wow.
And he said, "Buddy, I can't leave. I haven't seen my daughter in a year and a half. I just met her. I can't leave my home. I got a family. Al, come on. We'll fucking tear it up." So nothing happened. He didn't go.
He wanted your dad.
Yes.
To be his partner in
Not
comedy.
For nothing. But then he wanted my dad to go to Vegas with him and come. "Al, just be my right-hand guy. Me and you, Al. I'll take care of you." Now my father's got three kids, and I'm a little baby. And Buddy would come to our house in our apartment in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, bounce me on his knees, tell stories. Him and my father would go out and see guys like Jack Carter, Shecky Green. They'd go to wherever the fuck they went, whatever nightclubs in New York back then. My father would come home, his jaw would ache from laughing. He would tell me stories about what this comic said, what that comic said. And then we went to Long Island. We moved. So one morning, I'm getting ready to go to school, third grade, 1971, whatever.
8 years old.
And there's a show called Stanley Siegel. It was a morning show, TV show. And people would call in. Buddy Hackett was on. And we're watching the show before I'm going to school. And my father goes,
All TV was live then.
Yeah. "Hey, you want to call in and talk to Buddy? The number's blah, 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 blah." And my sister Rosalie, who's older than me, she says, "Daddy, call in." "Nah, you know," he's like, "I'm not going to call in." "Daddy, call." "Nah, I'm not going to get through." And he called. And he talked to the producer. I'm Al Benza. Me and Buddy were best friends in school. I haven't seen him in 20 years. Tell him it's Injun Al." Because my father was so fast as a runner. He was a Brooklyn champion hurdler. And they called him Injun, like an Indian. He was so fast.
I-N-J-U-N.
Yeah. "Tell him Injun Al." Stanley said, "Buddy, we got a call from Injun Al Benza." And we all watched around the TV. And Buddy Hackett just started to cry on television. "Al, I can't do him like you. But Al, that's you? Oh, my God, Al." They were taking over the show. All they could talk about was, how's Lily? How's this? How's the kids? What are you doing? Where are you? And you imagine back then, you can't say, "Find me on Twitter. Here's my Facebook." It was just like, you're gone. Like, there's no more, once the show's over. It isn't like now where you can find somebody. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So my father just treated it as, it was nice. It was like we all knew, Buddy remembers Daddy. He's crying. Then it gets better.
Because you can't give out your address on TV.
Yeah, you couldn't. You know, my father wasn't going
to
call back.
At least you want to take this 44 Desert Eagle to your guts. It hurts bad, but you don't die from your wounds. It takes
I
days.
Love the Keitel invitation is my favorite. So years later, I come to L.A. and I go, well, I'm going to go find Buddy Hackett one day. I'm going to just knock on his door. Like, I didn't know. You go to Beverly Hills.
That's how it works.
And I did. Found his house. Knocked on the door like an idiot. And the fucking whoever, hello, like some fucking butler. I said, listen, I'm Buddy Hackett.
No
whatever. It was somebody,
no fucking butler.
Somebody who lived with him who didn't want me. It was like, I was like,
Sherry.
I was like, you know, Jerry Langford and fucking Rufus Hupkin was on the door. He didn't want no part of me. I'm some
that's
crazy
terrific.
Person. My father was friends with him.
Was it
a
man or a woman?
It was a woman.
It's his wife.
But I don't know. I didn't know who that was.
No, I'm telling you,
okay.
I know.
Like, I know, Buddy's not home. Through the
low
door,
overhead
she was telling
over
me
there,
that.
Man.
Not home. Well, you know. But then my nephew was a waiter at Maggiano's at the Grove, and he saw Buddy Hackett there at the end of his life. And he said, Mr. Hackett, I want to tell you, I'm Al Benz's grandson, and I've heard all the stories about you. And Buddy said, Al Benz's grandson? He said, how was your grandfather? He said, he passed in 1985. Buddy cried again. Boom, cries. He said, but his son is in L.A. He wants to find you and meet you. He says, please tell you. What's his name, AJ? Oh, yeah, I remember AJ. He was a little boy. How old is he? He's 40-something. Oh, my God. Can he get a hold of me? And he gave a number, and I said, I'll call. I couldn't wait to call. And you know what? Too busy chasing pussy, having fun. I'll get to it. And then Buddy got sick. And if I'm not mistaken, he died pretty quick, right? It was
well,
not
he
like,
sick. He had a heart attack and died. Yeah.
Okay. Well, whatever it was at the end of his life. And I didn't have a chance to do it. I waited. And I never saw him. And it kills me to this day. I've sat down, I've hung out with Milton Berle, Red Buttons, Don Rickles. But to not do it to Buddy, and every time I hear you do the voice, it makes me crazy. Because I would have had those stories. I would have, you know.
Yeah, you would have.
I know. You I know, fucking blew it.
No.
How did you, is it only from action that you developed it? What made it so deep with you and him?
We met, I auditioned for Paulie,
right, I remember
the Bird movie. Right, yeah. And I was like, I don't care. It's a fucking bird voice. And my agent goes, DreamWorks isn't going to make this movie if they don't book this
right.
part. They're having a hard time.
Right.
And it was like a Sunday, which is unheard
it's
of.
It's weird, yeah.
So I'm driving through Santa Monica on a Sunday with a picture of a bird on my steering wheel. So I'm doing, just do something easy like East Coast. But I was doing like Norton from the
make
Honeymooners.
Make it easy so you can remember it.
Like, Eddie. Yeah. I go, but he's a little bird. So I just went, Eddie. Hey. And I realized I'm doing
Buddy
Hackett.
It's right there.
I loved you the first time I saw you. I always will love you, Marie.
It's a very birdy
voice. I go,
voice,
oh,
yeah.
I got it. Yeah. I got it. Like, I have the part, all of it.
Winner.
They're like, do you want the signs? I'm like, no. Nope. You want something to drink? Nope.
Let's do this.
Okay, you ready? I go, ready. I stand up. Buddy Hackett walks out of the room.
I heard this story.
What are the odds
of that? I can't believe that happened.
The odds of that are zero. For that to happen, we both have to be born 78 years apart, and our grandparents have to fuck on another continent and not die.
That's God just being a real prick with a sense of humor. It really is.
Not a prick, but he's the light. That's the lantern
well,
of the
he put
light.
It, yeah, but it had to be the thing, because when you first saw him, you go, motherfucker, I'm not getting this
And
part.
He walked out. He looked at me. We never met. He goes, how are you, pal? And he leaves. And I go in there, it's like, well, I either act like a psychopath, like I saw him, or like a psychopath that I didn't see him, because I'm kind of locked in.
Wow.
And I get it.
Insane.
And then they're talking to me about having another part, Benny, which I did. And I talk like East Coast, like
right,
this.
Right.
Like, come on, man, we're going to go to the racetrack. And then Hackett winds up, they offered him $5,000 for
yeah.
a day. And he goes, I have that in my pocket when I play golf. I never told you that, Corey.
Yeah.
He goes, I had that in my pocket. And the casting director starts crying. She goes, you have no idea what a fan I am. He goes, I hate to see you cry.
Yeah, yeah.
Want to make a dollar? So they gave him more,
yeah,
and he did it. And if you listen to, if you close your eyes, you're seeing with the bird, me, and Hackett in the pawn shop, you don't know who's talking.
Oh, I don't know.
In between takes,
not.
He goes,
perfect.
I never understood how you got a part doing me.
Doing you, yeah.
I go, I think they wanted a younger sounding you. And he goes, fair enough. Are we ready?
That's the life. That's
so
the
I would
life.
Just go to his trailer. He invited me to his trailer in between setups. And we just talked comedy. And he, like, I knew everything when I met him.
Yeah,
he just emptied
yeah,
me out like
yeah.
a kung fu story and filled me. Why do you walk to the microphone when you go on stage? I goes, that's where everybody goes. He goes, you want to be like everybody? You'll see where I go. I'm like, no, I was trying to fuck Terry Polo in the green room. At the MTV Awards,
yeah,
that ass.
Right.
I'm on, but, you know, she must have caught 100 beatings off those animals.
He goes, I walk in front of the microphone. I go to the other end of the stage. You shake somebody's hand. Somebody else wants their hand shook. If it's a balcony, you go, oh, wow. Wow. And then you go to the other end of the stage and like, hey, how are, because they paid for parking.
That's what he said. So they paid for parking.
It's a different generation, man.
Because they paid for parking.
It's so great.
Then you go behind the microphone and they all, he goes, and kid, they all come behind that microphone with you. Wow. I've never to this day.
You can't do it.
Not since 1999. I have never walked behind the mic.
You gotta
I go in front of it, and I always, even if it's like a weird stage,
you gotta
move the mic back.
Right.
And go in front of it, and I'll shake some dude's hand because he paid for parking.
That's great.
And then we're like Nick Swartz, and like some comics just wouldn't get it.
Yeah, no,
and like, like Ralphie was all in. Jeff Ross, all in.
I know Jeff
for
years. Jeff's a buddy of mine. Yeah, I get it.
He'd go like, what do you usually open your show with, Nicholas? And Nick would go, I just do like pressure like people on a roller coaster.
Oh, God.
And he goes, what do you say to them? He goes, you ever been on a roller coaster? He goes, and he goes, what if you didn't say anything and you just walked on stage and you just were on a roller coaster? But like what? Fucking avant-garde shit.
Yeah.
Which I know right at that moment is going to fucking die.
Yeah.
And Nick Nick tried it.
On a roller coaster?
It was like a bit like everybody on a roller coaster. Like, it's going to be great. Like, bah! He goes, just cut out all the... But it's... You have to try shit.
You got to commit to that. That's...
But like Jeff, like Schniff, me... I call him Schniffy. Jeff Ross and me and Ralphie, we just fucking... Whatever the fuck he told us, we would eat it six times in a row. We didn't care.
It's the fucking Tao of Buddy.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I would say... Why do you say... Don't say anyway... Because whatever you said before that, you're telling them it wasn't important. It's all important.
Good.
Don't say jokes. These
stories,
are not jokes.
Stories.
You're telling them it's not real.
Stories.
Don't say what else. They don't know what else. Fucking amazing.
No, it's amazing. The nuggets of wisdom that drip.
I had a joke where the punchline was El Cunto. It was about like who you want to live with. You know, dad, hey, you know, it's your decision. Or El Cunto. And he goes, what's that word worth to you? I go, I don't know what you mean. He goes, well, people can't laugh. This is Buddy Hackett, one of the dirtiest comics of all time.
Filthy.
People can't laugh when they're breathing in.
Wow.
You say that word, they go, they might laugh, but that split second they're going in the other direction.
That's insane.
So what's the value? Right. Maybe it's high value and you need the word. I'm not saying don't use it.
Wow.
I use it.
Wow.
But you better know what it's worth.
Wow.
And I said, fuck you, old man.
I'm going with El Cunto.
When you learn how to roll a proper joint. I brought Kevin Spacey to his house.
Did you?
We were doing a...
Tried to fuck him?
No. Okay. Kevin's he was good to pay it forward. And the greatest take, you're not going to be able to see this on the podcast, but you just have to fucking trust me. It's me and Kevin Spacey and Buddy Hackett alone.
Yeah.
It's a ranch house. There's no upstairs. Sherry, if she's ever home, is in the back. She has a fucking cat sanctuary the size of a par 3 fucking golf course. It's cuckoo.
Yeah,
that's the whole overhead. It was keeping fucking 20 cats.
Right, right.
Don't open that. There's cats.
There's cats.
It's important to her. Charisse Dubois. She was a dancer. We got married to the housewife. She's Sherry. Charisse Dubois. And we got married to Sherry.
Wow.
Don't call
awesome.
Me that no more. So he goes, we go to his house. I left a voicemail for Buddy. I said, I'm with Kevin Spacey. Spacey's obsessed with old Hollywood.
Yeah.
I know Hackett is very in the... He's a member of the Academy. I knew he had voted for Kevin. Oops, spoiler.
Oh, God. Did you blow
and
it?
He goes, you know Buddy Hackett. I go, yeah, let's just go over there. And he goes, you've got to be kidding me. So we go over there. Buddy hasn't answered my call, but fuck it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm drinking NyQuil at the time. I'm a little out of it.
I get it.
My second bottle of NyQuil.
Yeah.
That hour. And we ring the doorbell. I ring the doorbell. Buddy's got a robe on with, like, Hanes, like,
that's
white underpants. It's open.
I picture him that way, yeah.
And he goes, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Don't shoot. Don't shoot. He's going in his robe pocket for his glasses. Hold on. Don't fucking shoot. Don't put his glasses on. Oh. Yeah, that's him. Come on in.
Great.
Like we could be burglars or be an Academy Award 2-time winner.
Yeah.
And he goes, I was sleeping when you called, but I really wanted to meet Kevin. I want you to know, Kevin, I'm a member of the Academy. I voted for you. I think you're an excellent actor. And Kevin Spacey starts crying.
Wants to flip. I was going to say,
he's crying. He's actually
sure.
like getting, he's crying.
Wow.
And Hackett goes, would you like some cheese? maybe apples and crackers. And he goes, I would love that. Well, if you don't mind, if you could get up, the kitchen's over there, because I don't have many rules. One of them is I don't serve cheese when I'm sleeping.
Like, well, come on, you want to eat? Go get yourself.
Yeah, of course.
I'd never been in his kitchen before.
Wow.
And then he goes, you want more tequila, Kevin? He goes, yeah. And he goes, all right. He walks up to the bar. There's nobody in the house. It's just a quiet house.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And he's got two tequila little shot glasses. He pours it himself.
Right.
He turns to walk away and goes, huh? No. And keeps,
no.
He turns back to an imaginary bartender and goes, hey, you want some limes? He's like, nah. And we were like,
it's
what
too
the
much.
It was like The Shining.
Yeah, that's fucking
it. It wasn't scary. No, it was the best take I've ever seen, and I never asked him about it.
No, don't. It's
it was
too
cool.
It's too good.
He goes, when he died and we sat Shiva, it was a conference. It was like me, Jeff Ross, like Freddie Roman, and like Bob Newhart, like all these old guys are on the phone. Newhart's on old timers, right. Fucking legit.
Shelley Berman.
We're all on the same call. And he always said, like, you want to go down the street and meet Carl Malden? I'm like, yes.
Yeah, of course.
He goes, you know, he's acting now under an assumed nose. But we never went over there.
Oh,
so
shit.
Jeff goes, hey, pal, it's Jeff. I go, what's going on? Is it Buddy? And he goes, yeah, Buddy died.
God,
I go, fuck, I'll never meet Carl Malden. And Freddie Roman goes, that's disrespectful.
Thought he would love that.
And Bob Newhart goes, shut up. Bob Newhart.
That's all you need.
When we're sitting, he shut up. When we go to, I go to Hackett's house alone to sit Shiva. I have a fucking Cadillac with spinning rims. I got to escalate with spin, like I'm an asshole.
Right.
Bumping Outkast. Like,
yeah.
Bob Newhart, like, only met him on SNL for like that week.
Yeah.
He like walk jogs out to the spinning rimmed Escalade bumping hip hop. I turn the music down. And he goes, I'm so glad you're here, Jay. I thought I was going to have to spend the afternoon with Harvey Korman. But he wasn't kidding. They fucking hated Harvey Korman. Fucking hated him.
Dynamite.
But he's like, he never let go of my arm.
Isn't it great that well, I started hanging out with Red Buttons for a reason. I don't know why he loved
Buttons. He's an Oscar winner.
Oh, yeah. The stories he's got, the Brando stories.
Oscar?
Yeah, sure
Red
he did.
Red Skelton
or
Red Buttons?
No, Red Buttons won an Oscar. I started hanging out with him. I met these old guys, and I couldn't fucking... They were more fun than anybody I ever hung out with. The stories, forget about it. And I was dating Marlon Brando's daughter at the time.
Say what now?
I was dating Michelle Brando. She was a producer at E! At the time.
What's that estate?
It was
that Mondale chick still rolling around up there?
No, she died.
What?
Man, she died. Eleanor Mondale died.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she died. I don't know if she has cancer or some shit. But Michelle Brando was beautiful. But you know, you're sitting with her, and I go, Red, this is Michelle's, this is Brando's daughter. And then he told her a million of her father's stories. She never knew these stories about her dad. You know, she...
Buddy had all those Brando stories.
Of course. I mean, you know...
Like, weird. Like, how do you know so much about Marlon Brando?
I know Brando stories that are fucking awful. Like, you can't...
Well, you got to come back. But Hackett... I was thinking about this. I was paddleboarding the other morning. I was going out to fish. And I'm on top of the kelp. And for some reason, I started thinking, I go, I didn't tell AJ that about Hackett and Elvis.
Oh, God.
Elvis playing Vegas. Hackett's playing Vegas.
Sure.
Hackett... walks through the casino and it's fucking Elvis, but nobody's bugging him because it's like 4 a.m. and everyone's like, look at that Elvis impersonator. But it's like fat,
really
like
fat,
cape Elvis.
Fat Elvis, wow.
And he goes, hey, King. And he looks at me and
God.
Hackett does like an Elvis, perfect Elvis face and goes, hey, bud. And he goes, what are you sitting here for? And he goes, I just want something to eat, man. I want a lobster, but they won't. The kitchen's closed, man. And he goes, you want a lobster? I can get you a lobster. So Hackett goes in the kitchen. Just gets the fucking lobster.
He just did it.
Gets the pots.
Come on.
Puts water in a pot. Starts boiling a lot. And he goes, I got your lobster, Mr. Friendly. But like Elvis was like bummed out. Like he finally fucking joins reality.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Hey, I'll tell you what, man. Once you guys get me a lobster,
yeah,
I'll pay for it like a human being.
Can't
and they're like, nah, kitchen's closed, buddy.
What a piece of shit life that. What a piece of shit that is about life. If you, what else? How
no,
much
but
does
that's
he have to do?
But Hackett's the guy that just goes.
No, of
no,
course.
Not.
I know.
I know you keep it. Cause
yeah.
Because if I'm not, because that they're the draw.
Yeah.
But
of
Elvis
course.
Was so fucking out to lunch.
Yeah.
I'm bummed out, man. I can't get a lobster.
I'm bummed out. I can't get a lobster, man.
I got two lobster stories.
That's I never heard of two. That's
Market Diner.
Two lobster stories is almost to me.
Market Diner. I'm sitting here eating breakfast with my buddy.
and I hear Mary Muldoon, the waitress, say to this fucking 500-pound blob of shit on the stool. He's not in the booth. He's at the fucking counter, so it looks like the thing's going up his ass. His big, fat, fucking disgusting ass. Like, fat, who gives a shit? But when you're that fucking fat, don't leave your house. You fucking make me sick.
I understand.
And she goes, how was your lunch? And he goes, takes his napkin and drops it. He goes, off. On, like, encore. He goes, awful.
Oh, my God.
And we're like, Jesus.
Wow.
Fat guy don't like his lunch.
Yeah.
Plate's clean. Looks it's fucking lobster. At the Market Diner, 43rd and 11th, this fat fuck ordered a lobster and complained.
I know the place.
Awful.
Fuck you.
Exactly.
Fucking ordering lobster at the Market Diner. I'll tell you stories next time. I used to live with Robert Evans when I got out here.
Come on.
I lived with Robert Evans.
Me too.
No.
No. Okay. But I've been to his house. He's a sweetie.
Yeah, it was the best.
I know who's Nicholson taking care Beatty, of him right
the
now.
Whole thing.
You know, don't say any names. You know who's like taking care of him right now?
Taking care of him? The
she's a masseuse?
No, I don't know this one.
No? Okay.
No, I don't.
But no,
I
was she's legit. She's cool.
Okay, because I love him. But I'll tell you one story real quick before we go. He goes to me, I feel like a black broad tonight. I feel like getting a black broad. I said, all right, well, okay, Bob.
He too.
Can you get me a black broad? I said, I call somebody. So I
feel like that every night, man.
I call some. He wanted one of the ones I was there. I know what he meant, because I would bring girls over. And she could be the next Miss Evans. I go, yeah, but not this time. So I call a guy I knew that ran strip.
That's
strip
Reggie Wright, Jr. Well, you don't want her. She's about different. You
want sugar at the house. So I get sugar. The guy. Goes, yeah, I got somebody. Who's it for? I said, they want to know who it's for. He goes, this is the best. He goes, tell them it's for Brian Grazer. Fuck him. He just had them think it was for Brian Grazer.
Who, what was the package? I missed it.
He wanted a black girl. So the guy said to me, yeah, I can get someone over there and give me an address. Who's it for? I don't want to use Evan's name. I said, who's it for?
He goes, that's amazing.
Tell them it's for Brian Grazer. Fuck him. Fuck him. He hated him. So I said, it's for Brian Grazer. Maybe he's a happily married white guy to fucking...
Whose hair looks like young.
Yeah, like
serious.
He wants a black broad. Like, it's the last thing Brian Grazer would ever call for.
You know what you'd call for? Brian Grazer. Yeah, he sits at home with Vaseline in the mirror.
Hair
and by the way, we're both available, Brian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We I know. I did a movie with him, and he got so bent out of shape because the egos are just unbelievable. Like, a guy can't have more money. He makes tremendous movies. And I went on TV and I said, I like Braveheart better than Apollo 13. And I see him at Mr. Chow one night and he wouldn't look at me. And I said, hey, Brian, he wouldn't look at me. I said, what's the matter? Well, you know, he was with Michael DeLuca for New Line and Richie Cunningham and Ron Howard. And I go, what's the matter? He goes, well, I just felt like, you know, I mean, you know, you were in Ransom with me and, you know, and you said you liked. I said, I like Braveheart better. I know the ending of Apollo 13. Don't take it personal. Braveheart was tremendous.
You're an idiot, though. Apollo 13 is amazing.
Braveheart, fuck, come on. This is
Dark Side of the Moon, bro.
I just think Braveheart was true.
Hope it works.
Apollo 13 was phenomenal, but zero I like Braveheart gravity. Better. I like Freedom, the whole thing. To me, that was
they
better.
They filmed in zero gravity. 16 seconds at a time, 150,000 times.
Listen, it was a great movie.
Whose fault is it?
But he got hurt. His feelings were hurt. And I bought their dinner. I wasn't making that kind of money to buy three guys.
But think about this. That's the value. In the positive, he felt about you that your opinion.
So I had to send a piece of paper over there. I paid for dinner and sent the paper that said Braveheart sucked, and I paid for their dinner. And then the three of them laughed and everything. But you know what? Well, Ron Howard was a director when I did Ransom, so he knew me and he was nice. But he didn't care as much for Brian. But Brian
I don't
was
think
fucking,
Ron Howard cares about anything.
He was a good
he's a
dude
nice
to me.
Dude,
he's a real
right?
dude, really
I
good, really
him.
Nice guy. And Michael DeLuca back then was just a fucking animal, partying, fucking everybody left
like
and right. Yeah, well. We knew the same people. I knew the girl he... Remember that story where we got caught fucking that girl at the Oscar party?
I don't know any of that shit. Honestly, I'm not... Corey will tell you.
You don't know.
Care?
Yeah, it was crazy.
I don't know. I don't care. I tune it out. I don't give a shit.
Insane. It was my
Corey,
friend's
am I lying?
Ex-girlfriend.
No,
it's good.
No
but
idea.
You better off. But I was in that business
that's,
to know.
That's
it
fucking...
Like,
got,
that was my
you know,
business.
It either
no
happened
story.
Or it didn't. Oh, I know. It's
know the
business.
Scandal. Yeah, I knew everything. So.
But I also don't know any producers. Nothing.
Yeah.
Because you know what? You meet everybody like, you know this guy. And it's like, I don't know why I decided to do it at such a young age to just wall it off.
It doesn't
and
help
I just
anyhow,
go,
really.
Nope.
Yeah, it doesn't help.
And if you know, they're going to tell you who the person is anyway.
Yeah.
Fucking story.
Doesn't
when you tell somebody a story, or somebody's telling you a story, and they go, it was like a scene out of Apocalypse Now. Did you ever see it? Just so, yep. Because yeah. If you don't, they're going to go, all right, so there's this
you
guy.
You got to say, yeah, I know.
It's like, just fucking
you
tell
say,
the story.
Love it. Love
what
it.
What
are
you, fucking Siskel and Ebert?
I know. You got to say it. I get it. I know.
AJ Benz's podcast, Fame is a Bitch. Hit subscribe. I did. I love it.
Beautiful.
Ernie and Bert, not gay.
Oh, boy.
One writer said so. The people that run the show say not so much. The book, buy it. It's at jmoore.com, like Jeff Perlman's wasn't. Oops. That was a fucking great book.
I listened to this Perelman show. Wow, he's a phenomenal writer. Phenomenal writer.
It's his best book.
USFL book to be the best book is a real.
You can't believe how this shit came together and fucking Trump just came in.
That league was insane.
And then you think ahead to like the Trump stance, like against NFL. It's because they fucking told him to kick rocks four times.
Of course, he's getting back at the NFL because they wouldn't take the Generals into the NFL.
Carlo was your Gino was your gay.
Gino
cousin,
was my gay.
He was sent to your house in Long Island, so your dad and your family could quote unquote fix him. We couldn't fix him. He fixed. Us.
Yes.
David Wright made over $20 million because he got 0.5% of vitamin water.
Yes.
Good Lord.
Unbelievable.
Duff makes David Wright look like a fucking pauper from a Starbucks stock. David Bowie is the glue that holds the universe together.
He's the god.
The number two god of all time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this book, 74 and Sunny by A.J. Benza. Look, man, I know your character on TV, but I know your character.
Yes.
And it's, I think we're a lot alike.
We are.
It's a bit of a dig.
We are.
For people to realize, this is a fucking deep frequency here, man.
We're a lot alike. We're very sensitive, very deep. I listened to you for years, your podcast especially, recently, maybe the last 2 months. But every time I see you, I would always go, and I'm always right about this stuff. I knew I'd be friends with Mickey Rourke before I knew anything about him. I have this thing. And when I saw you, I'd say, I'm going to like that guy. He's going to like me. It's
you know what
thing.
Mickey said? Every time like I see you, you're buying chickens.
Yeah, the fucking
first line of 9.5 weeks
at the Spring Street fucking flea market.
I think it's his first.
You're buying chickens, yeah. With the little. Yeah, it's the first line.
And making the bed in the boathouse, and he goes. Yeah. She goes, "You're taking a lot from me." And he goes, "Am I?"
It's the fact. It was so. Listen, every
he
woman,
was the hottest.
The hottest guy. If he died after Body Heat, Pope, and
9.5 weeks.
9.5 weeks. Body Heat, Pope. If he died after those three, he's James Dean. He's bigger than James Dean.
You ain't lying. People think people don't know.
We're not even getting into Angel Heart.
I'm gonna put Angel Heart in there
because right there.
I know who I am.
Come on.
I still don't know what the fuck
and
happens. And I watch it 20
it's too
times.
Too confusing. At least fuck Lisa Bonet. For
real. And blood falls from the ceiling because she's the devil. Epiphany Proud. I won't even finish saying her name. Look
I just got the chill. Still,
it's no good.
Louis Cypher. Did you figure it out right away? Louis Cypher. I didn't get it right away. Louis.
No, I'm slow.
I didn't get it right away.
He plays the devil,
did you?
Stupid.
No, I didn't get it right away. The first time I heard
when
Louis
he had that
Cypher.
Cough. He had that cough, though.
That gay cough? Yeah, it's a different cough.
Uppers, downers, blues, screamers. We did everything. You talked to him with the robe like this. He killed me.
I love the robe, yeah. The robe.
My friends, buy 74 and Sunny. Order it. Steal it. Do your thing. Just tweet at AJ Benza.
At Real AJ Benza, yeah. You can't. I'm easy to find.
Stop. Acting like you're in pain.
At Real AJ Benza, it's amazing. Hey, it's funny. You type someone's name and you find them. Just type in AJ Benza, you'll find me. Real AJ
Benza.
What?
That's a very good point.
So
actually.
Easy.
Thank you.
It's just,
I'm not
it's
kidding.
It's like a phone book.
Because I'm always like, what's their Twitter?
How do
handle?
I find Jay Moore? Type his fucking name in the top.
Yeah.
It'll turn up. Just spell it right. You fucking jerk off.
Black Lavender. At Black Lavender. One of the coaches at Samo tonight, I go, well, how do I find you? He goes, just look me up on Instagram, Black Lavender. I go, his other name is Boozy. I go, Boozy?
Whoa.
I'm stealing that name. Yeah, if that's not your name, it's going to be my Instagram name tonight.
Black Lavender's hot
shit. Jaymore, Black Lavender.
I want to know Black Lavender.
Personally, I knew Black Lavender. She was a secretary. More stories. Put your name on it. AJ Benz is the man.
All right, brother.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me.